We have been continuing on our series in the Gospel of Matthew, and the last time we were together, we saw what one touch could do, the touch of the Master's hand, how a woman could reach out, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I would be made whole, how he could come to a woman, to a little girl, and Jesus could reach out and touch her and lift her up and say, arise. How we could find him touching the two blind men and causing them to be able to see. The touch of Jesus. As we've been doing this series on the power of Jesus, we see that that touch, that how it is that we can reach out and touch Jesus is by faith, by trusting, by reaching out, by faith saying, yes, Lord, I'm touching you today. And oh, to know this, that he has come far a greater distance than you could ever go to get to God. He left heaven's glory to come and touch the human race, to come and touch you in the person and power and presence of the Holy Spirit. God is in this room ready to touch. Are you ready to reach out and touch him? Because God loves us. He's full of such compassion. We see in the story that we look at today, we're going to just glance at this and look at the rest of this chapter, which is only a few verses. But we see that as we've seen the power of God at work, and we see that the conduit to that power is by faith. And yet it is his reaching down to us that makes the difference. We could never do it on our own. But God has chosen to involve the human race in this ministry of reaching a broken world. Physically, Jesus is not here. Spiritually, of course he is. He is risen, seated at the right hand of the Father. He has sent the Holy Spirit throughout the whole world. And yet he's chosen to use people to be involved in touching others as well. That we are part and parcel of the ministry of Jesus Christ so that we are touching lives and lives are being touched by us. Jesus has made you his hands and his feet. Isn't that wonderful? That there is a body, there is a family, there is the light of the world shining in us and through us so that we can reach out into the brokenness that's around us. In the previous story was the story of the two blind men, and after they had been healed, it says they went and broadcast the story everywhere, though Jesus had told them not to. They just couldn't keep silent. And then as it looks like this. In Matthew 9:32, it says, as they went out. Now, that was the two blind men. Now, it's interesting to notice something here. As the two blind men left the house, because that's where Jesus healed these two particular men. As they left the house, as they went out, behold, they brought to him a man, mute and demon-possessed. Now, what a picture this is here of what happens when you get touched by Jesus Christ. What do you do with that? Do you just have it for yourself? Oh, well, I can see now. But no, you want to share it. That's right. You want to get out there. And as they were leaving the house, these two blind men who had just recently received their sight, quickly they dragged somebody else into the presence of Jesus. We've got somebody else here, Lord. There's somebody else that needs the blessing, Lord. Listen, Jesus is not going to run out of blessing. Is he? He's not going to run out of blessing. There's enough. There's enough for you. There's enough to fill you up. But there's enough for your neighbor. And there's enough for somebody down the road. There's enough in Jesus Christ for the whole world. Bring others to Jesus. We saw that picture, didn't we? As we saw the four friends bring the paralytic man and lower him down to the roof. They took great pains and at great cost. They brought their friend to Jesus. And here we see that these blind men couldn't resist. They had been blessed. They had been touched, but it wasn't enough. Now I want somebody else to be blessed. I want someone else to be touched. You know, it's in the very DNA of a Christian to want to share the love and the life of Jesus Christ to the world around us. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. In this case, this man needed the Lord because he was mute. And demon-possessed. Now, that doesn't mean that all muteness is demon-caused, okay? In the scriptures, you can see when Jesus, there's lists of the different things that Jesus did. Sometimes people were sick, and they were just sick. Sometimes they were demon-possessed, and it also affected their physical being as well. Now, not always, and that takes great discernment in that. And you get some people get a little bit wacky, and they think that every time somebody's sick, there's a demon involved. That's not the truth at all. And so, but it can happen. In this case, there must have been great evidences that this man was possessed of a demon in his conduct, besides the fact that he couldn't speak. But it says, and when the demon was cast out, the mute spoke. And so God touched this man. Jesus caused him to be made whole, to be healed of the physical impediment that he had, and also to be delivered from the demon that was within him. And so it says the mute spoke. I wonder what he said. What do you think? Praise the Lord. I'm sure that he gave thanks to God. I'm sure that he exalted the Lord. Isn't that what we ought to be about? Yes, Marie?
It was a double miracle because he never spoke before.
That's right. That's right. Yes. He was able to speak because often you got to get a lot of therapy if you've never spoken before. But he was able to speak. And so the result of that was that the multitudes marveled, saying, it was never seen like this in Israel. They were blown away. Somebody's here different than there's ever been. Never have we seen the power that's at work here. And we see what Jesus was doing in Matthew 9:35, when Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Jesus was going out and he was preaching the gospel, primary. But he was also being gracious and full of love and compassion for broken people in their broken lives and their broken situations. And he was touching them where they needed it. He was healing them and he was delivering people. He was touching them in every single area of their lives. Everyone. And you know, the thing is that that's God. God wants to touch you in every part of your life. He wants to affect every part of your life. Now, there were times when Jesus didn't heal, and there were times when he did. There were times when he walked through a whole crowd of people, and he walked up to one guy, and he says, do you want to be made well? And he heals that guy. No record that he healed everybody else that was around the pool that day at the pool of Bethesda. So we need to have some discernment and understanding in that. Because Jesus Christ knows what's best for everyone. But in these situations, as he preached the gospel, there was healing. And there was deliverance being offered. And we're going to see in the next chapter that that was the case as well. And I believe that God heals today. I believe that God can do marvelous miracles. And I've seen him do the miraculous. I have seen God do things that only God could do. And I believe that he can. And I praise the Lord for that. And I believe that he's called us to be involved in preaching the gospel and in praying for the sick and looking to God in every situation. And bringing it to Jesus. Bringing things to Jesus. If there's struggle, bring it to Jesus. If there's sickness, let's bring it to Jesus. The Bible says, if anyone's sick, let him call for the elders of the church. And we should anoint him with oil and pray for them. And so we have those privileges. But I want to look at the reactions. Firstly, we saw the reaction of the crowd. It says, the multitudes marveled, saying it was never seen like this in Israel. But look. But the Pharisees said, he casts out demons by the ruler of demons. So here's Jesus, miracle after miracle, sign after sign. Not just preaching the gospel, but signs were following him, testifying that he was the Son of God. That was the main purpose of the miraculous, was that it would be clear that Jesus was who he said he was. That was the main purpose of the miraculous. The secondary purpose, which is wonderful, was that people were being delivered too, right? But the main purpose was that Jesus would be honored and that Jesus would be made known who he was. But the Pharisees couldn't see it. They were blind to it. They were opposed to Jesus Christ no matter what he did. And so they give this accusation, and later on in Matthew chapter 12, they bring it up again, and Jesus gives a little more extended speech to them about how foolish they sounded. But here we see that their accusation was, it's the devil's power that's causing demons to be cast out. Jesus actually cautions us in Matthew chapter 12, there's a sin against the Holy Spirit. It's a blasphemy against the Spirit of God. In other words, attributing something that's from God as if it's from the devil. If you don't pay attention to the Holy Spirit, if you reject the Holy Spirit, this is what the Pharisees were doing. They were rejecting the ministry of the Holy Spirit. They could never get saved. You can't get saved if you reject the ministry of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit's ministry is to point to Jesus. And that's what the Holy Spirit was doing here, is pointing to Jesus. But they were saying, no, it's the devil. You know, Jesus said something profound a little bit later on. Okay, where is it? He who gathers not with me. I don't have it on here, do I? What's that? Yeah, that's not the verse I was thinking of. It says, Jesus said, whoever doesn't gather with me scatters. So I know I've said this to you before. I want to challenge you. Are you a gatherer? Or are you a scatterer? Oh, I'm in the middle somewhere. No, you're not. He said, if you're not gathering with me, then you're scattering. Yeah. Think of that. You can't sit on a fence. You cannot be neutral. There will be no neutrality on the day of judgment when it's heaven or hell. There's no neutrality. There's no in between. There's no one foot in heaven, one foot in hell. It's not going to happen. It's all the way with Jesus. He challenges us to be those who are gatherers and not scatterers. I don't know which one. Sometimes I'm a scatterer. I am. Because I'm not gathering. Now, what does it mean by that? Does that mean I have to be out just banging on doors and telling people about Jesus all the time? Not necessarily, no. But it means that my heart is, I want to see people won to Jesus. My heart is that I want to be actively involved in the kingdom of God. My heart is that the Spirit of God, that the love of God, that the grace of God, that the fruit of the Spirit is flowing out of my life, and I'm looking for opportunity to love people and reach them. Yes. And if my heart's not there, then I'm a scatterer. You don't have to go out and tell people, don't listen to the Word of God to be a scatterer. All you have to do is try to be neutral. And I'll tell you, when we look in our next chapter, we'll find there is no room for neutrality. All the way with Jesus. Not half, not three quarters, not 95, but all the way with Jesus. That's what He's calling you to. It's the only way that you can be a real gatherer. Don't hold back. Don't hang back. But make yourself available to the power and presence of the Spirit of God in your life, and you will find that He will use you. Two blind men, they were touched. What did they do? They found somebody else who needed to be touched. They didn't waste any time, did they? Just as they were leaving the house, there they were. Praise the Lord. And so as Jesus is going about doing this kind of ministry, we find in the next chapter, He sends His disciples out to do the very same things. But now we get a little bit of sense. Now the window opens. Now God opens the window to show what was going on in the heart of Jesus when all this was happening. When He was reaching out and touching broken people. When He was healing. When He was preaching the kingdom of God. We had the external testimony. Now God wants us to look at the internal testimony. Where's Jesus' heart? Because, you know, lots of people are involved in ministry all over the world. But where is their heart? Is it a profession? Is it something that they're supposed to do? Well, I have to do it. Is it something, well, I get paid to do this. Where's the heart? Let's see where Jesus' heart was. When He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion for them. Jesus has no problem being filled with compassion for a broken world. You can have a problem with it. I can have a problem with it. I need the heart of Jesus. I need the compassion of Jesus. Because I'll turn up my nose at somebody. I'll find just the right combination of a person that's hard to put up with. And I'll have unkind words to say. I'll slip in a little bit of jab about that person and what they're really like. No compassion. I don't know if that pricks you a little, but it does me. I need Jesus. I need him all the way. You see, God doesn't want to give us, well, I'll give you some of me. He says, it's all of me. In the moment, let it be all of Jesus. Now, in the next moment, I might not yield to him in that moment, and therefore it'll be me. God, forgive me for it. Lord, restore my soul. You don't have to go down in some deep gutter in order to fall. All you have to do is not allow Jesus to have his way. That's all. And you're just as fallen as somebody who falls 50 feet. Doesn't matter. It's all or nothing. Let me encourage you to that. And in this moment, it can be all. That's hallelujah. At this moment, it can be all. This moment, Jesus can do the living in me. This moment, his compassion can be my compassion. Give way to him. Let Jesus have his way. This is his heart. This is not only his conduct, but this is his heart. He was moved with compassion for them. And then it tells us why he was moved with compassion. It says, because they were weary and scattered. How far do you have to look to find someone who's weary? How far do you have to look to find someone who's scattered, who's broken, who's lost their way? They don't know what they're doing. They don't know where they're going. Broken, ruined, scattered people are all around you. If you don't see them, then your eyes are blind because Jesus sees them. He sees them. And he has come to open our eyes, not only to see Jesus, but to see a broken world and to really see it. That we want to reach people for Jesus Christ. You know what? The main purpose of having a church in Shady Camp is not so we can have a big church full of people. Say, now we have a church. Oh, here we are. We're all together here. This is awesome. That's not what we're here for. We're here to reach broken people. We're here to touch broken lives. The church is a means to that. It isn't the end of it. This place where we are, or if we get a building and we whatever we do, all of that is secondary stuff. It's not the purpose. It's a means to the purpose of reaching broken people, wherever they are, touching lives, seeing people made whole. If you lose sight of that, well, we can have a passion to have a building, we can have a passion to get together, and we can have a passion to have services and fill it up with people, but there's no purpose if it's not to reach the broken and lost ones. Make sure that's the center. Make sure that's what you're really all about. And you'll know that it's the way you're all about if personally that's what you're doing. If that's where your heart's at, then that's what you'll be doing, right? That's where it is. It's like Lammy. I want to go across the world somewhere and tell somebody about God. Now, here, in our lives, right where we are, praying, reaching out, caring, loving, lips and lives, proclaiming Jesus Christ. He was moved with compassion. They were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Don't know who they are. Don't know where they're going. Lost. Lost. Lost in religion. Lost in addictions. Lost in pride. Lost in gossip. Lost in whatever sin it is. Say the flavor of it. It still means lost. Still means scattered. Still means broken. Still means they have no shepherd. I have a shepherd. His name is Jesus. He made me see. He opened my eyes. He took my scattered, broken life and he brought me into a relationship with him. And just like those blind guys, I can't be silent. I must go and tell somebody about Jesus. I know I probably told stories when I was first converted. I would witness to a fence post. I didn't care. Everybody had to hear about Jesus. And I want that zeal to grow. I don't want it to diminish. All the way, friends. Jesus takes our broken life and he makes it whole. Not so you can just sit around and enjoy yourself, but that you can invite others to the party. Invite others to this wonderful place. The weary, the scattered, the ones who have no shepherd, we can bring them to Jesus. Hallelujah. So what does he say then? So he says to his disciples, as he looks on a broken world, as he sees the need, the vast need that is all around him, he says, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Now, people read this passage and they think, oh, well, that's for those. God's going to call somebody to be a missionary, like we talked about earlier. God's going to call somebody to do that. And we're going to pay them. And that's the way we're going to evangelize the world. We'll get a few people out there and we'll pay them to do it. And we'll sit home, watch television. Huh? It doesn't work that way, does it? Jesus is looking for laborers in the harvest field. Are you a laborer? Are you a gatherer? Or are you a scatterer? My friends, God is calling you. First, to trust Him. First, to know Him yourself. Pretty hard to invite somebody to something you don't even know what's going on. First, get saved. First, make sure that you're with Jesus. And then, bring others along. The blind man had to get healed first. Then they took the demonic possessed guy. Bring them along. Invite them to Jesus. Invite them to get to know Him. Whatever way that we can. That we might come to know the Savior of the world. This is God's heart. He says the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. He says, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest. There is a harvest. There is a place. Jesus said in John 4:35, do not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest. Don't think, oh yeah, well, harvest time, you know, it's in October, right? This is spring. So there's no point in trying to harvest now. We'll harvest when the fall comes. You know, that's when the grain's ready. It's not ready now. But Jesus wants us to understand the grain is always ready. There's always people out there that are broken. There's always people out there that are scattered. There's always people out there that want to hear about Jesus. You know, there's people that want to hear about Jesus. The devil, his biggest lie that he tells me every day is nobody wants to hear this. He tells me that. Does he tell you that? Yeah. Nobody really wants to hear this. There's no point. Why would you bother to talk to that person? If you say anything about Jesus to that person, they're just going to blow up and tell you to get lost, buddy. Right? So don't. Whatever you do, don't. And yet, Jesus said that the harvest is now. That the grain is falling to the ground. It's falling. And when the grain gets white, when it's ready, it falls to the ground. And it perishes. How much grain is ready to fall to the ground in Shetty Camp? Right in Shetty Camp. Are you going to be there? Lord, let me be one who's harvesting. Take the opportunity to speak of Jesus Christ and to share Him with others. Put away the fear of man, which is only a snare. That's all it is. Trust the Spirit of God, because if the Holy Spirit does this, now I'm not trying, not forced, but surrendered. Lord, let me have your eyes. If you have the Lord's compassion, then when you look at people, you see their brokenness. If you have the Lord's compassion, then you'll want to tell others. You'll want to reach out to others. I'm not asking you to drum something up. I'm asking you to surrender to Jesus Christ, and He will cause it to happen. He said, the fields are already white for harvest. He who is not with me. Oh, there's the verse I was looking for before. He who is not with me is against me. He who does not gather with me scatters abroad. Matthew 12:30. But the fields are already white for harvest. Lift up your eyes. Look at the fields. They're already white. Thank God that there is a harvest field and that we can reach out to a broken world. Jesus is saying, I'm not going to do this by myself. I want laborers. I want people to join me in the harvest. And I want to challenge every one of us. Let's be in the harvest field. Be in the harvest field at home. Be in the harvest field at work. Be in the harvest field at the store, wherever you are. Are you consciously thinking about people and their need of Jesus? Or are you just going through your day? You see people, not a thought about their soul. God can change that as you begin to see where people really are at. Do you know that if you pop the lid off of most people's lives, you're going to find a deep, dark mess underneath? Did you know that? Have you found that out yet?
Yes.
If you pop the lid off of idyllic-looking communities, I remember being in Alberton and there was like six churches in Alberton. It is a town in PEI. It looks like heaven. And I remember speaking to the people there at a conference or evangelism seminars I was doing. Anyway, I said, you know, people could come to Alberton and say, I wish I could live here. It's heaven here. It's heaven. Everything is just perfect until they actually move there and get to know the people and find out what really goes on. Well, it's not quite heaven. And some places, it's literally hell. God wants you to make a difference in this broken world. And I want to challenge you to it. I want to encourage you to it. Again, I look at the heart of Jesus as he speaks in the Gospel of Luke. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you were not willing. It didn't stop him, even though they were unwilling. You get the point? Sometimes people are not going to listen, but don't let that stop you. It didn't stop Jesus. And did he have an effect on the world after all? How many people were left following Jesus at the end of the story? There was 11, right? Right? And a few other disciples. At one point, they all left him. At one point, he was completely abandoned and forsaken. How many followers of Jesus Christ have there been since then? Millions. And hundreds of millions. Why? Because even though he was rejected, there's still a harvest field out there. And God can see a harvest field down to the ages of time. And you are part of his harvest field. Even though they said, this guy, he's got a devil in him. He's casting out demons by the prince of demons. Didn't stop the Spirit of God from saving sinners all down through the ages and saving sinners today. Do not give up on your community. Do not give up on your neighbors. Pray, preach, proclaim, and love. There's grain out there to be harvested. Or else Jesus would come back. When the last grain is harvested, Jesus will return. It's not harvested yet. So let's be his hands and his feet in this broken world as we reach out. The same deliverance and power that was within Jesus Christ has come to you and to me that we might be found being servants of the Most High and serving God so that we can be part and parcel of this a solution rather than contributing to the problem. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you, Lord, that you've called us, Lord, to the harvest field. We thank you, Lord, that you're the Lord of the harvest. That means you're the one who directs each one of us and where we should go. It means we got to be surrendered to you. But we're willing, Lord, we're saying, here am I, send me. Here am I, Lord. Let me be the one ready to live for Jesus. Lord, show us your compassion. Lord, take over our lives, take over our thoughts, take over what we see and how we view people. Take over those things, Lord, or we'll never get to the harvest field because we won't have the heart for it. Thank you, Lord. You're not just calling us to do something, but you're giving us the right heart to be able to do it. I pray you'll bless. Pour out your Spirit upon us. Thank you for the gospel that set us free. Thank you, Lord, that it'll set other people free too. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's close with a hymn. After that, Gordon, we give thanks for our food. Hark, 'tis the shepherd's voice I hear. Out in the desert, dark and drear, calling the sheep who've gone astray, far from the shepherd's fold away. Bring them in, bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in, bring them in, bring the wandering ones to Jesus. We'll go and help his shepherd kind, helping the wandering ones to find. Sheltered from the cold. Bring them in, bring them in, bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in, bring them in, bring the wandering ones to Jesus.
the mountains wild and high. Hark, 'tis the Master speaks to thee. Go find my sheep wherever they be. Bring them in, bring them in, bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring
Jesus, I'd like to give you thanks for this beautiful day. Give thanks for the word from here. And Lord, I would ask you that we would all become people that would call people in, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
And now I'd like to ask you to bless this food. Bless the hand that prepared it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.